So the conversation changes, and people are welcome to ask questions or comments or bring things up from your own practice, particularly related to this talk that Annie Palmo just offered, or things that are happening in your own practice that's going on for you contemporarily. So please feel welcome to share what you'd like.
I guess mine is more of a question along the lines of what you were talking about, I think somatites they're called. Is there any link between certain emotions and how those cycles manifest, or does it go through the whole 13, or does like anger result more in viruses versus, you know, something different?
I have not researched into that detail. Actually, I would love to go up when I have a chance into the lab and have a chance to talk with him personally, because for me that's very fascinating. However, I just know that emotions are starting the process of the division, so I don't know whether it goes into one division more or the other. But maybe when you can do some of your own research, maybe you can find that out.
So when you were talking, I was wondering, with children, when they're sick, and specifically small children, does he find a lot of connection between the environment and the child, and mostly the caregiver role and the child and the reflection of emotions, or what happens there? Or he doesn't go to the psychological effects of attachment?
I couldn't give you that detail. But I'm sure, as we all know from our own exposure to certain environments, it's very difficult to keep an even mind sometimes. And when we're into a negative space, it's very difficult to hold it, or hold our own heart. And so I'm sure it's the same thing with children. Or actually, children probably are much more sensitive to those things. And also people who are ill, it's much more difficult for them to hold a positive energy. So when we can, you know, go in and hold it for them, can be very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's one of the way prayers work, sending metta. You know, all of those things have an incredible effect. And I think actually, for me, it gives some explanation on how it affects the environment. Mm-hmm. You know, all those positive, loving energy, compassion. You know, what it does to those somatites, you know, I think it just puts all this positiveness out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can I say something? So, somatites is a new concept to me. I haven't heard of it before. And so, I don't have any frame of reference other than what you just shared this evening as a context for understanding it. But I certainly do know that... I do know that the way our emotions affects our biology and our biochemistry is huge. And mm-hmm. So there's all kinds of hormones that are related to stress, which are released when there's certain kinds of emotions. And the opposite, there's hormones that are related to health and happiness and well-being that are present when there's certain kinds of emotions that are present. In terms of navigating our own health and our own illness with ourselves as with anybody in the family, there's many different factors that are always contributing in any particular point. There's an environment, there's psychology, there's predispositions genetically, there's environmental factors that are both chemical, environmental, psychological, and there's also karmic factors, the tendencies that a person has that they came into this life with that they're working through. Yeah. And so it takes a lot of discernment to figure out, you know, of 5 or 10 or 15 things that could be influencing any person at any particular point, which are the several that are strong and that are having an impact. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, New Age philosophies sell short the complexities of these kind of way these things work, and they come up with aphorisms about stuff which are total oversimplifications and in some situations not at all helpful, in fact harmful, because they miss certain significant ways that factors can be influencing.
Yeah.
You know, for example, you know, I've heard you know, one new age kind of idea is that you can, because your thinking affects the way you feel, then it's taken to an extreme. If you get sick, it's because you're not thinking correctly. So therefore, there's some sense that you're responsible for the sicknesses that you have. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, on top of having cancer, you have the guilt that you are somehow responsible for creating it. And while there can be a healthy component of inquiry which is required to see if there are things that one is doing which can do that, it's not at all helpful to say that that's the only thing that's happening and that one is entirely responsible for it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely, I didn't want to put a thought out there that it's all, that we are the ones who are creating or not creating it. I think that's a very good point. What I kind of want to make more that there, or show more that there is actually a factor that those parameters have an effect on our body. It does not take away all those other factors. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we don't want to go into guilt or into, oh my God, I created this or not created that. I have found out from my own experience, actually, I had a bad fall last year and I fractured some of my vertebrae and I went through a lot of pain and suffering. But I have found that actually that pain and suffering has been incredibly, incredibly helpful for my own practice. And I would not give it back for anything. You know, so being ill is not necessarily something bad. You know, I think that's one thing too, to have equanimity without judging, well, this is good or this is bad. But finding a way of whatever arises, trying to have a peaceful mind about it. Okay, the way we react to something, we have more, we can do something about. And, you know, I think that's where we have much more choices.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, with what you were just saying about not wanting to give back the pain of your fall because it taught you something. I'm type 1 diabetic, so that's the one you normally get when you're a kid. And yeah, there's been many times I thought, oh, life would be better without it. But then I think, I wonder what kind of person I would have been without it. Like, maybe I wouldn't be so empathetic or, mm-hmm. you know, understanding other people's illnesses and problems and stuff like that. So it is kind of an interesting thing, like how it changes you. And it kind of changes the way people relate to you, too. And it kind of gives you a perspective that people without, like, an illness wouldn't have had, because it's like you know who your real friends are by the way they treat you with this, and you also know how to be so much more kind to somebody else that's going through something similar. So it's kind of like, I don't know if I would give it back.
Yeah.
Even though it has sucked, you know.
Thank you for sharing that.
All right, you're welcome.
Anybody likes to share their experience when we kind of try to send out compassion and loving energy, metta, in the two different positions? Anybody like to share that experience?
In my experience practicing metta bhavana, you start by sending metta to yourself. Like, that is beginning, the essential sort of foundation of the building. So to start in, you know, this self-loving sort of position is, to me, a very sensible way to begin. And to start in a more expansive physical position, the second position certainly made sense. And it may just be my own lack of feeling, but I didn't actually experience a vast difference between those two, or it seems like, you know, you start by radiating metta to yourself, so, you know, this sort of closed in, you know, first in a protected inner mode and then in an outgoing mode, that makes perfect sense to me as a continuum of the practice of metta.
as a practice where you start up with yourself first and afterwards, yes. But a lot of time I think the idea behind that exercise is in everyday life when we walk around, we usually walk around like this. And the idea is that maybe while we're out there also to be more open, because that way we can reconnect better to other people with the open heart. Not necessarily in the meta practice every day, but out in life. So that was more the idea. But you're perfectly right about sending the love first to, you know, to you and then outside in your practice.
It was interesting for me when you said to send it out when we put the hands here, because it was difficult to send something out that I'm
yes.
holding. Because mm-hmm. it felt like I'm holding it,
mm-hmm.
and so I'm trying intentionally to send it, but it was difficult to come out since
yes.
it's right here. And then it was easier to send out
mm-hmm.
When it was open for me.
Yes.
And I personally enjoy when I have close friends that I give a hug or to my family to kind of touch on top of the chest, like
mm-hmm.
here, where it, for some reason it just feels, I don't know how to explain it, it feels good to put it general, but it feels close. So there's this thing going here
mm-hmm.
for some reason that
the heart
connects, yeah, with another person. So.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
For me, when we were like holding it in like that, I was much more. I was like, "Who is this person next to me?" And, you know, I didn't know who anybody was really. And when we opened more, I wasn't as aware of that. I felt more like we were one unit going. It was like a bigger perspective to me. So that was the difference in my experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it's an everyday practice, you know, like every hour or so when you can remind yourself and just notice, where am I? Am I closed up like this or am I open? Because, you know, it's nice to practice on the cushion, but really it is much more helpful to be able to take it out into life and see how we are. And how we can connect outside of the practice. And just kind of notice, just observe yourself. Am I closed in or am I open?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Just during the day, just observe yourself. And the more open you are, the more you can actually connect with your heart. And you can receive also, you're more open to receive. And when you're closed up, it's much more difficult.
The thing I also felt that when I was opening arms, I was much more exchange passive, much more connection. However, I also felt run over, and I was thinking that years back I made an experiment. And I had to always be open to everything, and I came to the conclusion that it's not really
mm-hmm.
sensible.
Yes.
Sometimes one needs to does need to
yes.
close up. So I was trying to figure out. Since both are true,
yes,
how do they belong together? So one way, though, that they do belong together is that recently I have experimented with in a supermarket or when I'm out there, even when I feel threatened sometimes by people, it's actually a defensive mechanism almost to send out metta. It's a protection in a sense
mm-hmm.
to send out metta. It's not. I don't know, it's kind of still navigated. I can't quite explain.
Beata, do you think it's a protection or is it a shifting of your way of being? Like moving from I'm scared, I'm frightened to may you be filled with loving kindness. May you be free. You know what I mean? Maybe that's it. Maybe, I don't know, I'm just making a guess, but I'm thinking through, that's an interesting idea. When we're feeling fearful and we need to protect ourselves, to shift it and see the human being there and offer metta. Maybe that's why it works. It's an interesting idea.
I,
I was just having a conversation the other day with somebody about shielding. And she said she'd Googled it and she didn't see anything on the computer about shielding, so she wasn't sure what I was talking about. So I was telling her that I spent a period of time in a healing center in Brazil, John of God's Healing Center. And I happened to be over there during Carnival. And Carnival in Brazil is quite extraordinary because the Brazilian people, they love to party. I mean, they so love to party. It's just incredible. So they get drunk and they have lots of sex and they have lots of fun dancing and then they come to the sacred healing place and cleanse themselves. And I was sitting in current, you know, with my eyes closed and these hundreds of people, like thousands of people are walking past. They're cleansing. And somebody was asking me, how do you like Carnival? And I said, it's excruciatingly painful. So they would drop all their garbage and I was absorbing it, okay? So in this place, because there's a healing thing that happens not with people, but with another realm, entities, they're not in body, they're in spirit. You get into a relationship of asking the entities questions. So somebody said, ask the entity what you needed to do to protect yourself. So simple, I did. And the image that I came to was given to me was to surround myself in a mother of pearl and moonstone shell casing. So the morning time was, I mean, I'd been there for many weeks and I'd spent hours in these currents. And I mean, it was a very unusual situation because normally I can't sit for 5 hours without being in a lot of discomfort. But there, it was like regular that I would sit for 5 hours and not be uncomfortable. But on Carnival, it was like the first 30 seconds and I was like out of my skin, you know? So the morning time was unbelievably uncomfortable. And when I did this, I put myself in the mother of pearl and moonstone shell casing. It was like 98% difference. So there was something that was happening in the environment that I couldn't see, but I could feel it in my body, what was going on. And so I needed to learn how to protect myself so that I wasn't absorbing that. But that made it possible so that I could be kind and caring and empathetic and sharing of metta with my heart. And so for me, because of my sensitivities, it's been decades of learning of how to protect myself energetically so that I then am able to be open in circumstances where it's suitable.
What I also have found is taking refuge really consciously every morning and when we need to do it in between. For me, that's a protection like that too. Because when I'm taking refuge in the Buddha, Buddha is totally protecting me. And of course, in Tibetan tradition, as you may know, we use deities, we use Chenrezig, Lord of Compassion, and we do different practices where we actually use and it's no deities out there. It all comes out of Buddha nature. And so we actually use them as protectors. And so that is also something like you use those pearls and all that. We are using actually Chenrezig.
Beautiful. It's like that.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Well, if there aren't more comments or questions, I'd like to change a little bit.